Now, I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study this morning. Will you turn in your Bible with me again today to 2 Corinthians chapter 13? Thank you for watching, and I hope you'll get your Bible and just get a good, easy seat there, and let's just have a good old-time Bible study this morning. And as I usually do, I recommend to you that you get a pencil and piece of paper and write down the scripture references that we use. We've been talking about lost believers and things in the light of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, notice that Paul said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." And, of course, the word reprobate carries the idea of being rejected. It carries the idea of having something that is of no need to you. It is of no value to you. It is useless. It is worthless, and you just cast it away. Now, I've discussed with you before about there are lost people in the churches that believe in the Lord, but they don't trust him as their Savior. For instance, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you've received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you," on and on and on, "unless you believed in vain." Now notice in verse 12, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead?" Well, obviously, there were people then at Corinth that had some argument about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't believe in the resurrection, and therefore, if they didn't believe in the resurrection, obviously, they couldn't have been saved. Why? The gospel of their salvation says that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead. Now, there are numerous other passages, but just a couple of them. Notice in Galatia, the book of Galatians, and notice in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, Galatians 1, verse 6, Paul said, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Now, these people had changed their minds about what they believed, evidently. And so in Galatians chapter 3, notice in verse 1, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you?" The truth is that Christ died for their sins. The truth is that Jesus Christ became sin for them, and that God judged their sins on Christ, and God raised him from the dead after 3 days three nights. Now, they did not obey this truth. Notice in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse 2, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace." Now there are numerous other passages that bears out the idea that there are lost believers in the church. There are people in the church that believe in what the religion teaches. They just don't believe what the Bible says. Now, Paul said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." Turn in your Bible, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter, make it 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And notice in verse 13, 2 Corinthians 16, verse 13, he said, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." Well, stand fast in the faith. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy, chapter 4. In 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now he didn't say some shall depart from religion. He didn't say some shall depart from the doctrines of baptism and on and on and on. He said some shall depart from the faith. Something very specific. A specific faith. Now let's talk about for a little bit this particular faith. My message to you this morning is that you examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Well, what is the faith? Well, compare some passages with me. Turn back in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, I notice in verse 1, Ephesians 4 verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, whatever that faith is, it's the faith that these Ephesians accepted. It's the faith that they walked in. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation it made known unto me the mystery. What is this mystery now? Notice in verse 6 that the Gentiles, these to whom he's writing, these Ephesians who had not been in the commonwealth of Israel, they were strangers from the covenants of promise. They were without hope and without God in the world. Their God Almighty had not promised them anything. And yet, they were saved by the gospel. Now notice in Ephesians 3 verse 6, this mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Well, how did they become a partaker of Christ? By the gospel. How are they fellow heirs and in the same body with Paul and Timothy and Titus and so forth? For instance, if I put on the board up here and I say, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is here, say Acts chapter 2 with the coming of the Holy Spirit is right here. The Apostle Paul is saved over here. The Lord appeared unto him and the message of the grace of God came down to him. And so I'm going to say here is the church, which is the body of Christ. I'll let this represent the church, which is the body of Christ. In this church is the Apostle Paul. There's Timothy in there, and Titus is in there, and so forth and so on. Now, during that time, there's the Thessalonians, the Corinthians, the Galatians, and on and on and on. These people who had been in the covenants of promise, they were in the commonwealth of Israel. They were not strangers from the covenants of promise. And they were not without hope and without God in the world. They were associated with Israel. And Jesus Christ was sent to Israel to begin with. And so the church, which is the body of Christ, is made up of these people during that period of time. But the Ephesians, Paul said, were strangers from the covenants of promise. They were not in the commonwealth of Israel, and so forth. So I'm going to say here represents the Ephesians and the Colossians and you that are listening to my voice who believe in Jesus Christ and trust him and what he did for you at Calvary for your salvation. Now, when these Ephesians here heard that Jesus Christ had died for their sins. That has to do with the mystery of the gospel. It has to do with the mystery of the faith. Hold on to Ephesians and turn to 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, all up and down this country for the past 30 years, I've been teaching Bible classes and preaching in Bible conferences, and I've asked hundreds of people, pastors, deacons, and just church members, what is the mystery of the faith in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9? In other words, a man that desires the office of a bishop and so forth, and a man that's a deacon, there are some qualifications. Verse 8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. I've asked them, what is the mystery of the faith? And I've never found one yet. I've never found one preacher, one deacon, not even a child of God, not even a Christian, who could tell me the mystery of the faith. Notice in Ephesians chapter 6, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is asking for these people to pray for him. Now notice in verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to speak, to make known the mystery of the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? The gospel is that Christ died for some people's sins. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for men's sins. Not just that he died, was buried, and rose again. Peter believed that in Acts chapter 2. The mystery was that Jesus Christ died for somebody's sins somewhere. He died for their sins. Paul began to preach this to those that were in the synagogues, and those that blessed Israel, those that feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But during that period of time there, in the book of Acts, there was a group of people in Acts chapter 19 that worshiped Diana. They worshiped idols. They didn't even worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They didn't even believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They rejected the idea that God, the creator of heaven and earth, was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so after Paul had been there, later on, for some cause, these people repented. They turned from their idols, and they turned through the preaching of the gospel and believed the gospel. Now, that was a mystery hid in God from the foundation of the world. The fact that Jesus Christ died for men's sins is a mystery. Romans chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. It is a mystery hid in the scripture. What? That Jesus Christ died for men's sins. But there was no truth in the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus Christ had died for your sins, or the Ephesian sins, or the Colossian sins. What is the mystery of the gospel? The mystery of the gospel is that even you Gentiles have the privilege of hearing. The mystery of the gospel is that we who were not in the covenants of promise, we who came along after Israel was lo-ami, so therefore we didn't bless the seed of Abraham, and as a result of that, God bless us with giving us the gospel. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise, and without hope, and without God in the world, so to speak. And yet, God had something hidden all those years. This was so severe. This was so magnificent that when Paul told those people in that temple, Acts chapter 22, read the thing. He said, I was in the temple and praying in there, and the Lord appeared unto me and said, depart. They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to hear your message concerning me. depart, I'll send you far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto that word. They listened to him until he said, the Lord told me to go far hence unto the Gentiles. And then they lifted up their voice. They began to throw dust in the air, ripped their clothes off, and they said, it isn't right that this man should live. And so they set upon him, and finally he became a prisoner for you Gentiles. He became a prisoner for you Gentiles in Acts 22. Now I know that there are some of the preachers and the teachers in Pensacola and Montgomery and Birmingham and around. I know they don't believe that, and I know they won't accept that. And I know they'll call me a hyper-dispensationalist, and they'll call me a dry cleaner and all that kind of nonsense. But Paul was not a prisoner for you Gentiles until Acts 22. Read the thing and see. He had chains put upon him. He was locked up. He was put in jail. He was put in prison, and he stood trial for carrying the message of the gospel of Christ to you Gentiles. What is the mystery of the faith? The mystery of the faith is that you Gentiles are included in the faith. Now notice something. The Bible says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. I'm going to say that all this represents the body of Christ. The body of Christ is back there. Paul is in it. Titus is in it. Timothy is in it. The Corinthians were in it. The Galatians were in it, and so forth. These Ephesians, by believing that Christ died for them, also were baptized into that same body. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. The Spirit of God put them in the same body with Paul, Timothy, and Titus, and they were fellow heirs with them in the same body. How? By the gospel. Now keep in mind, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. We are in Christ by faith. We are in Christ by the gospel. Now, we are in faith based upon the same thing. Turn, please, to Romans, and notice in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, notice in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. As we said hundreds of times here, you can't be saved by the law. You can only be condemned by the law. The law was not given to save you. The law was given to condemn you. The law was not given to get you into Christ. The law was given as a schoolmaster to teach you that you need a Savior. Now, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, verse 21. But now, in other words, back here, people kept the law. But now, righteousness without the law. But now, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Notice verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. In other words, the faith is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ believed God in your behalf. How's that? Jesus Christ by faith in God's Word. Jesus Christ by faith in the truth of God went to Calvary and died for you, believing that God would raise him from the dead. Believing that by God's holy Word. Jesus Christ died for you and God raised. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. There is no doubt about it. Christ, by faith, went to Calvary and justified every one of these people that believe on him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on, yes. Place your salvation upon him. Place your justification upon him. In other words, turn it over to him and trust him, believing that he did the work at Calvary. There is no work for you to accomplish to satisfy God. God is satisfied with the work that his son did at Calvary for you. What did Jesus Christ do for you at Calvary? Well, he died for you. He went to the cross, he suffered, he bled, and he died for you at Calvary. Therefore, righteousness is by his faith. Justification is by his faith. Life is by his faith. Look in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Not was, am. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. In other words, I live physically even though I am crucified. In other words, I'm not dead physically, but I am crucified. It's a judicial term. Jesus Christ's death at Calvary is my death. Jesus Christ is my substitute. He died in my stead. He died in my place. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I am crucified, but I'm not physically dead. All right, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Then I live by the faith of the Son of God. It is not saying there, I live by my faith in the Son of God, although my faith is in him. In other words, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the gospel, the good news that he died for my sins. And yet, what is it that I believe? I believe that he by faith went to Calvary, and he by faith took my sins. He by faith was judged for my sins. He by faith in God died for my sins. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I've got the power to take it again. And so Jesus Christ was delivered up by God the Father, and when the time came, Jesus Christ just said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And Jesus Christ bowed his head, and Jesus Christ gave up the ghost. In other words, Jesus Christ died for you by faith in God the Father, believing that God the Father would raise him from the dead. Why would you have a problem with that? What is your problem with that? Is your problem with that the fact that it jerks the rug out from under your haughty, religious pride? Is that it? Is your problem with that the very fact of the baptism into death, that Jesus Christ was immersed in death? He was baptized into death in my behalf, and therefore it takes away every need to be baptized in water. The Bible says you're complete in him. You're complete in him. You're complete in the work of him. You're complete in the faith of him, and on. What is that one faith? It's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for a body of believers. That body of believers is called the church, which is the body of Christ. The hope of that body of believers is to have our vile bodies changed and made like unto his glorious body. The calling of that body of believers is a high calling. It is not reigning over 10 cities in the millennium or having the Lord say, well, you've been faithful over 5 talents, therefore take 10 cities. There's some of you believe that right now. You're so hung up on coming back to this earth and ruling over 10 cities. Some of you are wondering, what cities is it going to be that I'm going to get? Well, I'm not looking for any of them. My calling is a high calling, according to Philippians chapter 3. It has something to do with it's above this earth and not of this earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, not you. Now, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You see, back here in Acts chapter 2 through 4, 5, 6, and 7, Peter must endure. His faith must endure because his faith is going to be tried with fire, looking unto the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Not so with us. Our faith looks back to the faith of Christ at Calvary. Jesus Christ endured in our behalf. The faith of Jesus Christ was tried, and the faith of Jesus Christ endured, and Jesus Christ died for us, believing that God would do what he said he would do. Will you believe what he did? My Bible says that God justified us by the faith of Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, baptized into his death. Will you receive him as your Lord and Savior? Will you quit trying and right now start trusting him as your Lord and Savior, believing that he did finish the work for you at Calvary by faith in God the Father? Thank you for listening today. Lord willing, next time we'll take up with the same subject again. Until then,